If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great-tasting, high-quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Bernie Sanders suspended his presidential campaign today, making former Vice President Joe Biden the presumptive Democratic nominee, unless, said Hillary Clinton before being tackled to the ground.
Recorded from locations that are not 30 Rockefeller Plaza, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with comedian Jim Gaffigan. But first, a closer look.
The president is speculating about an unproven medical treatment for coronavirus after ignoring repeated warnings about the threat of a pandemic. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. It seems like almost every day we get more and more evidence that the Trump administration knew well in advance of the very real threat of a pandemic and that they both ignored it and lied to the American people about it, despite the fact that the president keeps saying stuff like this.
Nobody could have predicted something like this.
Nobody knew there'd be a pandemic or an epidemic of this proportion.
I just think this is something, Peter, that you can never really think is going to happen.
It's an unforeseen problem. What a problem. Came out of nowhere.
We're having to fix a problem that 4 weeks ago nobody ever thought would be a problem.
It's something that nobody expected.
I would view it as something that just surprised the whole world.
It's very telling about his psychological state that when he means I, he says nobody.
Folks, nobody could have kept a casino open in Atlantic City. Nobody really blew it. Nobody sucks.
So nobody could have seen this coming. Yeah, Taiwan and South Korea, New Zealand, and Singapore were all surprised. That's why they have a combined total of 12,000 cases, and we have a total of 400,000 cases. Although, in fairness, New Zealand had a huge advantage because they could call in those eagles from the end of Return of the King. And I'm sorry, guys, but where the hell were you this whole time? You're telling me Sam and Frodo spent 3 movies climbing Mount Doom, fighting giant spiders, and getting stabbed by ring wraiths. And this whole time, they just could have hitched a ride on a giant bird. Oh, what? You don't do direct flights from Hobbiton? You guys are less reliable than Spirit. Although, I forgot it was called Hobbiton. Hey, J.R.R., what are you gonna call the part of the Shire that Bilbo lives in? Well, I don't know. I was thinking maybe, like, Hobbiton? Oh. I don't know if Hobbiton's good. It sounds, like, a little lazy. No one's gonna think I'm lazy. This thing's gonna be, like, 1,000 pages. Hobbiton. Anyway, no. This did not surprise the whole world. Just because it surprised you doesn't mean it surprised the world. Everything surprises you. Even your own speeches surprise you because you so often are reading them out loud for the first time, which is why you do that weird thing where you're both reading and doing a DVD commentary on your own speeches.
We will be sending aid to all 50 states. 50, wow. Wow, that's a big number, 50. Wasn't always 50.
He's like a guy who walks into a birthday party when everyone yells surprise said, wow, we are all equally surprised. I can't believe we all got lured here under the same false pretenses. Did you guys also think this was going to be a quiet dinner for two? In fact, at one point, Trump even claimed that despite notable pandemics that have occurred throughout history, like the 1918 Spanish flu, nothing like this has ever happened before.
So there's never been anything like this in history. There's never been. Nobody's ever seen anything like this.
Stop saying nobody. People who were alive in 1918 have definitely seen something like this. And I'm pretty sure your friends would like all of them.
Wilbur, tell me what the Spanish flu was like. It was horrible. We had to subsist on a soup and a beer. Good thing I was over 21. That's not a Photoshop. I went on TV and had a head of soup and beer.
In fact, Trump keeps vaguely mentioning the 1918 flu pandemic, but for some reason, he keeps getting the date wrong by exactly 1 year.
Nobody's seen this. I would say since 1917, which was the greatest of them all, probably the greatest of them all, right? 1917. There's been nothing like this since probably 1917. That was the big one.
You read about them. You read about them from 1917, and you read about them from lots of other times.
So I may have been late reacting to coronavirus, but I was a year early on the Spanish flu. Of course, no one writes about that, do they?
So I think I know what happened here. Trump knows there was a movie called 1917. He thought those guys looked kind of sick and just assumed it was about the Spanish flu. Of course, they're not sick. They're just British, which Trump would know if he hadn't turned off the movie to watch Rugrats. And yet, despite Trump's repeated claims that no one could have foreseen this, it turns out a lot of people foresaw this, including people in the Trump administration. Here's just a quick list. First, Obama officials walked Trump aides through a global pandemic exercise in 2017. Then, in 2017 and 2018, threat assessment intelligence analysts even mentioned a close cousin of coronavirus by name, saying it had pandemic potential. Then, in 2018, the Director for Medical and Biodefense Preparedness at the National Security Council told a symposium that the threat of pandemic flu is our number one health security concern. Then, top administration officials said last year that the threat of a pandemic kept them up at night. Then, White House economists warned in 2019 a pandemic could devastate America. Then, intelligence reports warned of coronavirus crises as early as November. And then, U.S. intelligence reports from January and February warned about a likely pandemic. Well, you know the old saying, eight strikes and you're out. Seriously, how many incredibly specific warnings do you need? This is like getting a note that says, I know what you did last summer. Specifically, you hit a man with your car, and then you and Freddie Prinze Jr. decided to hide the body and pretend it never happened. And now, in an act of revenge, I'm going to systematically stalk and kill each of you one at a time. I am also sending this via email and will copy all above reference parties.
I don't know what that means, what any of that means, but I think we should all go camping in the woods. I know a great place with no cell service.
In fact, in this White House, if you plunge your head in the sand and ignore reality, you can actually get rewarded. Case in point, yesterday, Trump appointed campaign spokesperson Kayleigh McEnany as the new White House press secretary. In February, over a month after our first confirmed case of coronavirus, McEnany said this.
This president will always put America first. He will always protect American citizens. We will not see diseases like the coronavirus come here. We will not see terrorism come here. And isn't that refreshing when contrasting it with the awful presidency of President Obama?
If you think going from this to this is refreshing, then you might not know what that word means. Trump looks like the physical embodiment of the feeling you get when you fall asleep on the couch and wake up after dark and you don't know what day it is. The only thing refreshing here is the Kool-Aid you drank. If Trump's going to hire people who go on TV and say things that are that wrong, he might as well hire this lady as the secretary of knowing who Greta Thunberg is.
The 2019 book entitled No One Is Too Small to Make a Difference is a collection of speeches made by a Swedish climate change activist. What's her name?
Sharon.
Ah! So close. First of all, I love that woman, and that clip will never not make me happy. Second of all, Sharon is such a bad guest for so many reasons, the least of which is how not Swedish Sharon sounds. These are my friends, Elsa and Ingrid and Sharon. Anyway, after all those warnings, on Tuesday, we found out about yet another warning when it was reported that Trump's trade advisor warned the White House in January of the risks of a pandemic. And at the top of the document he wrote, it literally says memorandum to president. Of course, Trump has probably never even heard the word memorandum before. He probably saw that and said, I can't read it. It's in Latin. So they knew, and they lied to you. They told you it wasn't a threat, but they knew it was, and they put lives at risk. Not to mention all the economic carnage they knew was coming. They knew. But here's another part of the problem. The guy who wrote that memo, Peter Navarro, is also a crank. Because what happens when an oatmeal brain sociopath guts the civil service and surrounds himself with fringe right-wing weirdos? Even if someone's right, you don't know who to believe. For example, Navarro, a trade advisor, has been one of the loudest voices in the administration pushing the unproven malaria medication hydroxychloroquine for coronavirus. Now, Navarro has zero medical expertise, which led to this exchange on CNN on Monday.
My qualifications in terms of looking at the science is that I'm a social scientist, I have a PhD, and I understand how to read statistical studies, whether it's in medicine, the law, economics, or whatever.
That doesn't qualify you to treat patients. Do you want an internist striking trade deals with Asian countries?
Yes, touche, sir. I doff my cap to you, sir. On the question of this potentially dangerous and unproven medication, you have checkmated me, sir. Well played, old chap. Bravo. These guys are so easy to outmaneuver. It's like playing tic-tac-toe with someone who doesn't realize you're supposed to make a straight line. Looks like my O's have all four corners. No, I beat you in three moves. Touché, old friend. Beat me, you have. And if you're wondering how someone like Navarro ended up on Trump's team in the first place, according to Vanity Fair, at one point during the campaign when Trump wanted to speak more substantively about China, he gave Kushner a summary of his views and then asked him to do some research. Kushner simply went on Amazon where he was struck by the title of one book, Death by China, co-authored by Peter Navarro. He cold called Navarro, a well-known trade deficit hawk who agreed to join the team as an economic advisor. You know, we give Jared a hard time for having no skills or expertise, but in his defense, he has Amazon. Dude probably rocks Google, too. And here I am giving him a hard time, saying he has no idea what he's doing, when he's probably asking Jeeves as we speak. And Trump has followed the lead of his grifter friends and allies in pushing hydroxychloroquine over the objections of Dr. Anthony Fauci, who said we need clinical trials to prove it's safe and effective. For example, it can have potentially lethal side effects on the heart. And yet Trump has brushed those concerns aside. According to the New York Times, Trump made a rare appearance in the Situation Room on Sunday as his pandemic task force was meeting, determined to talk about the anti-malaria medicine that he has aggressively promoted lately as a treatment for the coronavirus. Once again, the experts warned against overselling a drug yet to be proved a safe remedy, particularly for the heart patients. Yes, the heart stuff, Mr. Trump acknowledged. Yes, the heart stuff. Thank you, doctor. I can see Trump walking in to give a patient the bad news.
Listen, Jim, I'm afraid it's heart stuff. And that's extra bad because, you know, you have that lung thingy.
It's clear that because he ignored repeated warnings about this horrific situation, Trump is now hoping there's a miracle cure that will get him off the hook. Just listen to him selling hydroxychloroquine in a bizarrely hushed tone at a White House press briefing on Saturday.
And I hope they use the hydroxychloroquine, and they can also do it with Z-Pak, subject to your doctor's approval and all of that. But I hope they use it because I'll tell you what do you have to lose? There's a possibility, and I say it. What do you have to lose? I'll say it again. What do you have to lose? Take it. I really think they should take it. But it's their choice, and it's their doctor's choice or the doctors in the hospital. But hydroxychloroquine, try it, if you'd like.
My God, is anyone else creeped out by his tone of voice? I feel like he just pulled up in a windowless white van across from a high school.
Hey, kid, I got some hydroxychloroquine. It'll make you feel sky high. Try it if you like. Oh, so there's hard stuff.
Trump is desperately hoping this will all just go away, and that's why he's pushing an unproven miracle cure. This morning, he tweeted that once this deadly pandemic that created our economy is over, it must be quickly forgotten. But it shouldn't be forgotten. Our government, led by our sociopath president, ignored repeated warnings that a major public health and economic disaster was headed our way. And if you point that out to Trump and his supporters, the best they can counter with is...
with Asian touches? Touché.
This has been A Closer Look.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, everybody. We are joined now by one of my favorite comedians, a great guy, and he has a YouTube show that he started this last month called Dinner with the Gaffigans. It's Gaffigan, right? Not Jaffigan?
It's Jaffigan.
We're here with Jim Gaffigan. Hi, Jim.
Hi. It is. It's nice to talk to you. I'm not sure exactly where you are, but I am in downtown Manhattan. My wife is high risk, so we are under double secret quarantine. I am with my five children. We've been here for a month, and they're still alive, so I should get an award.
You should get an award. I mean, don't take this the wrong way. I've always thought you were a little crazy that you had five children. You travel with them everywhere you go. You're an incredible parents to them. But you must be regretting it a little bit, right?
I'm absolutely regretting it. I think if there's one takeaway from this segment, it should be to encourage people not to have children. And if you have them, give them away now.
Yeah.
No, it's this thing called distance learning, which is obviously the schools have shut down, and distance learning was created by people that truly hate parents. Because I have five kids, so you'd think five kids, five screens, five places in a New York City apartment. It's not even that. It's five different schedules for five different kids on five different screens in a New York City apartment. And the school, they just send these kind of assignments like, hey, have your seven-year-old do all this stuff. I'm like, I'm not doing this. So I'm raising them to be farmhands.
You have, I think it's, if I have it right, three boys, two girls. Are they handling it differently?
The girls are civilized. The boys who only want to play on iPads once it comes to their distance learning, which is essentially teleconferencing with a teacher, that suddenly they don't know how to turn on a computer. You know what I mean? Or the iPad is confusing to them. But I understand it's difficult. You know, school without friends, that's appealing. Right?
Right, sure. Are they getting their work done? Are you a taskmaster then?
I don't know. There's too many of them and there's too many different projects. You know, I think yesterday I spent 2 hours trying to print from my son's school iPad to our printer. So I know that I printed out the assignment. I don't know what happened to it though. He'll be fine.
So at the end of the day, you don't sort of gather them all around and say, let's show me what you've done.
Not really. No. Eventually it gets to 6 p.m. We do dinner with the Gaffigans and then I pretend to like them for like 40 minutes during the show. By the way, we've done, I think 26, we've done 28 episodes.
That's crazy.
That's a whole season. You know what I mean?
That's like a season back in like 1950.
Right? I don't know if we've been picked up. I don't want us to get picked up. But there is, it's like, and we don't really have contracts. So my kids could come back and really have high demands.
Yeah, well, that would be, I think you could threaten, a lot of sitcoms replace child actors.
That's true.
This is basically you just filming family dinner. Like, where did you get this idea?
I was on tour in Latin America. I was in Bogota, and I was about to head to the theater, and my manager called me and informed me that Argentina had closed its borders, so I would not be going to Argentina, and, you know, things were moving fast, so I decided to fly back home the next day, and while I was at the airport, there was I was existing with the knowledge that I might not get back, or I might be separated from my family for an extended time. And so the Dinner with the Gaffigans was something that serves as just, because I know that there are some people separated from their families, or they're just by themselves. I have friends that are by themselves. So it was just something light, and also it would be something to serve as a break from the constant, consumption of news. Like, I don't know how many times I feel like at this point, there's got to be three or four Sanjay Guptas, because that poor guy, that he's working so hard.
Yeah.
And all those CNN anchors, they're like, my friend Sanjay Gupta. He doesn't like any of those people now. They're like, Sanjay, can you be on my show? He's like, I haven't slept in 3 weeks. So, but we wanted Dinner with the Gaffigans, which is streamed on YouTube, and it has an interactive element so people can ask families, and we do charades and stuff like that. So it's totally a distraction from, you know, what we're dealing with.
I want to, we're going to put up a photo of sort of a typical Dinner with the Gaffigans. And then I want to put up a second photo where it looks as though your youngest son is wearing a Spider-Man mask.
Yes. He.
So was that for the whole dinner?
Well, there's different themes. Not for the whole dinner, but there's different themes. One, and by the way, the enthusiasm for my children has disappeared. Like, I'm like, do you guys want to dress up since we're having bratwurst? Do you want to do German things? And they're like, no, get out of here. But there was a dress up, like a superhero dinner, and Patrick was the only one that dressed up. But what we've done recently, probably for the past week or two, is we've added a charity element where we're attempting to raise money so that we can buy food trucks for hospital workers in New York City. And, you know, obviously there's the PPE, but like on our YouTube, there's this super chat where if you donate $2, your message gets highlighted. And so then we comment on it. And sometimes we make fun of the person that donated or make up a lie about them. It's all very simple. Nothing, no huge high entertainment value, but it's kind of comfort food.
We're going to be right back. I have some more questions for Jim Gaffigan. Stick around. I'm here with Jim Gaffigan, and you mentioned the Dinner with the Gaffigans is raising money for those in the medical community. Obviously, you are coming off a recent, very scary period of your life where the medical community was really helpful to you. Your wife had a brain tumor, and now she's doing great, right?
She's doing great. I mean, it does, following the surgery, she did contract pneumonia, so she's considered in that high risk element. So essentially, as I mentioned earlier, we're on like this double secret quarantine where, you know, we rarely even get delivery, food deliveries, but I will, at the end of every day, I will go down and get boxes and empty the garbage. I call that my me time, you know, and then I just come back up and I yell at my children. But so, yeah, no, it's a pretty scary time, but I think we all have to be vigilant. There's obviously, you know, I might complain, but compared to the sacrifice that, you know, even a delivery person is dealing with is so much more difficult and so much more scary. But it's all right.
This is a scary time for everyone. But there is this sort of collective sense that we're going through it together. I have to imagine a couple of years ago when your wife was going through that, that must have been really terrifying for your kids.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it is interesting because for me, it's very reminiscent of that time period where obviously now the world has shut down. But, you know, when my wife went through this brain surgery, our world shut down. And so the careers canceled, the everything, you know, you just focus on the children. You know, you kind of are a morale. I mean, I'm much more of a short order cook at this point and a janitor than what I was when my wife was sick. But yeah, no, it is very reminiscent. And there is part of me that is also very this is going to sound really corny, but there is something about there's an opportunity for this one-on-one time.
I feel this weird thing that my kids, again, they're 2 and 4, you know, when this is over and hopefully it'll be sooner than later, it'll be jarring for them. Like they're enjoying the fact that they're spending so much time with their parents.
Yeah. There is something about this experience that as a parent is very vital. I mean, you know, I joke around and I'm like, I always said I wanted to spend more time with my kids, and you got to be careful what you wish for. Yeah. But, you know, in a sincere way, there is something, this is going to shape them. You know, like I look at my children and I think this is the generation that has encountered an enormous amount of fear, whether it be my teenagers or my 10-year-old, that, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't have to deal with that. I mean, there was this kind of fear of a war with Russia, but this is, you know, a very kind of serious, sobering thing that they're experiencing as teenagers, which is fascinating. I think it's making the whole country grow up. Hopefully we're like, okay, we need the adults in charge. We need to listen to science. We need the adults in charge.
Obviously, being stuck at home, people tend to get cabin fever. You must feel good that you took advantage of the time before this, because you, one, are an international act. You can tour the world, and you do bring your kids with you almost everywhere you go. Are they still excited when they get to travel with their family?
Yeah, I think I mean, I don't know if they necessarily appreciate it as much as, because I don't know when international travel is going to return, you know?
Yeah. Like,
so I think that it was interesting. I mean, you know, I have two teenagers, so they're kind of just relentless in pointing out every insecurity I have, you know, like, you look like a tourist. Yes, I know that, you know, because I do. I look like a tourist. Even as a baby, I look like a tourist. So it's one of those things where, I think, you know, we've been here for 4 weeks in my New York City apartment. It's not a one bedroom or anything like that, but it is an apartment. There's no backyard. And so I think that there is a certain appreciation that they will have for even going to school or going to the park. You know, again, we could go to the park, but my wife is relatively high risk. So
you both have extended families, your wife and you. A lot of people have been using this time to reconnect with family members they don't talk to that much. Have you guys been communicating with them?
It's interesting because, you know, there's the wife's family's text chain, and then there's my family's text chain. And my wife's family are in constant communication. My family, somebody will just post a meme of someone showing a wine opener imitating exercise. You know what I mean?
And do the kids all get along with each other more or less? I mean, do they appreciate that this is a scary time and they're lucky to have siblings, or are they just driving each other crazy?
There is, you know, there's five of them and they're at different stages. So the 7 and 8-year-old are just kind of, this is a weird kind of extended weekend that we're on. And then I would say, but overall, to answer your question, I think they're getting along a lot better than they would normally. You know, there isn't the necessarily the outlet of leaving and going to other friends' houses or apartments. So they're kind of thrust together and, it's, you know, and they're doing a lot of chores, a lot more chores.
That's great. I wish you all the health and happiness with your family through this. It is so nice to talk to you. Don't take this personally. It's great talking to anybody. I think you probably feel the same way.
It is. It's nice to do something that is not cleaning. You know, right now I'm going to leave and I'm going to go and clean a sink. I'm also going to start liking it.
Yeah. Well, maybe next week you can come back and tell us how the sink went, because that might be where we're at.
Yeah. I used to be a comedian and an actor, and now I'm just a short order cook. You know what I mean? I just want to get those bells.
Oh yeah. You're going to work out the bell system?
Like one of those bells, you know, where you ding, orders up.
Oh yeah. That's the dream.
You know, that's what I'm looking for. I get a nice hat, you know.
Hey, thank you so much for making time for us, Jim. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Check out Dinner with the Gaffigans. It's on YouTube every weeknight. It's a blast.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.